This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. And again, we're glad to have you in our audience. Now, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program if you'd like to re-listen to this program on my website or make use of any of the material that's on the website. In addition, you can contact me with prayer requests or comments through either my regular mail or through the website. Now, we've been looking at people who were prominent in the Old Testament and in the New. In the Old Testament, we would call them the heroes of the faith. We haven't covered them all, but we've covered a lot of them. And for those of you that are interested in the heroes of the faith, you might want to go and spend some time reading from Hebrews chapter 11. It's interesting, in Hebrews chapter 11, some of the heroes of the faith were victorious. And some of the heroes of the faith were not. And that's always been an encouragement to me, in that faithfulness is more important to the Lord than success. Even the Lord himself would have been considered by human standards to have been defeated. Of course, that doesn't account for the resurrection. And so the Lord humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But now we know that God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, even though there are some of the heroes of the faith that appeared to be defeated, yet from the standpoint of eternity and from the standpoint of their relationship with God, they were victorious, just as the Lord was victorious. But as we've looked at them, mostly we've looked at men, although we have looked at Ruth and we've looked at Esther and others that were prominent in the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament and we started looking at John the Baptist and Zacharias and some of the prominent figures of the New Testament, we want to look at Mary, the mother of the Lord. She obviously is important, and she obviously is a prominent, faithful handmaiden of the Lord. Now, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, which says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren.'" So that means that John the Baptist, who she bore, was 6 months older than the Lord. And here's an important statement in verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now I want to read verses 46 and 47 as well, where Mary goes and meets with Elizabeth. And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This is her song, we call it, as she praises God for what is taking place. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." So when we look at this passage, it's quite clear that Mary has been favored of the Lord. I am convinced that she was one of those women in Israel who had been praying that she could be the mother of the Messiah. I am convinced that she was waiting for God to fulfill His promise to come into the world and to redeem Israel. I am convinced that just like Christians today are waiting for the Lord to return and to first rapture the Christians, take the Christians away out of the problems that are going to come upon this earth while we're waiting for His second coming. And the second coming is a coming of comfort and hope and of peace. For the Christian, it's a comfort. It's not a comfort. It's a curse to those who rebel against God. But nevertheless, while we're waiting for the Lord to fulfill the promise of His second coming, we're much in the same situation that many people were in the New Testament as they were waiting for God to fulfill the promise of the Messiah who was to come, who was to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so Mary, I think, was faithfully waiting for that, no doubt. And I'm using a little sanctified imagination here. She was no doubt praying that she could be the handmaiden of the Lord and bring this child into the world. But she, of course, even though she was favored of the Lord, she, of course, had difficulties because of what the Lord had granted her, the promise that God had granted her. That is, she was going to be considered a loose woman, because that which was born of her was of the Holy Spirit. She was not married, although I believe if you put all of the accounts together, likely she and Joseph were married before the Lord was born. But nevertheless, when the child was conceived, she was not married. And Joseph had to be told by the Lord that this was okay, that she had not been unfaithful to him, even though she was espoused or engaged to him. She had not been unfaithful to him, and he should take her to be his wife. But of course, that puts a cloud, does it not, on the morality of Mary. And because of the way society thinks, even though a child born out of wedlock has nothing to do with it, yet there are people that will place a cloud over the head of somebody who has been born, obviously born out of wedlock. They'll bully the person, they'll treat them with disrespect, and in some ways they seem like they want to hold that person who was born out of wedlock accountable as though they had anything to say about the situation. But while Mary was faithful, and while Mary no doubt had some rejection by her family and friends and society because of the way the Lord was born, what's interesting is that there are people in the world that would like to make Mary, who is to be respected and honored, they'd like to make her more than she is. There are people who place great emphasis on the fact that they should pray to Mary, and that Mary was immaculately conceived, that she was conceived without sin, and that she's an intermediary between us and God. And of course, that's just simply not true. Mary was a sinner like the rest of us, and in her song that is recorded when she meets Elizabeth, I've read that portion where she says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Mary needed a Savior just like everyone else needs a Savior. And even though she's venerated, she was not born without sin. The Lord was born without sin, but she was not born without sin. And she has no place in heaven that will allow us to pray to her and find favor with God. The New Testament tells us that there is one God. There is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. Some say she's the mother of God, and I understand why they would say that, because the Lord Jesus is God made known in the flesh. But the Lord Jesus existed long before he was born. It's different when we're born, it appears that when we're born, we begin to exist, either depending on how you look at it, probably at the moment of conception. But we did not exist before that. But with the Lord, He was the ever-existing one, Jehovah. And when He came into this world, Mary was the vehicle by which He came into the world, and she was His natural-born mother. But even though she was the mother of the Lord Jesus, it's stretching things a wee bit to say that she was the mother of God, because God did not need a mother to come into existence. God was always there. We don't understand that. I don't understand how God could be an ever-existing one, but He tells us He is, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. And so she was not the mother of God. And while we give her respect like we would give anybody else that the Lord chose to use in this miraculous way, we do not worship Mary, and I want to emphasize that today. We do not worship Mary. We worship God. There's always a tendency on our part to want to bow down to people that God is using. And when we come to the book of the Revelation and John gets these great revelations of things that are going to come to pass, he bows down at the feet of the angel that's revealing it to him. And the angel says, "Don't worship me, worship God." And the way we worship God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. "No man," the Lord says, "cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Word became flesh through Mary and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But nevertheless, it's the Lord that we worship, and it's the Lord that we trust. And Mary was an instrument in all of that, but we don't worship her. We don't pray to her, and she has no advantage or clout or intercessory power with God that we need to utilize in order to approach God. We come to God and we make our supplications in the name of the one who is worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary can't save us. She needed to be saved. But Mary was a woman who was faithful and was useful and was obedient and did what God asked her to do. And she didn't even fully understand all that was going on, but it says that she pondered these things in her heart. She kept them there and thought about them and did what God asked her to do. But let's make sure today that our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our relationship with Mary is one of respect and honor, and that we don't make her in any sense an intermediary, an intercessor, or a savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy love and for Thy salvation, and pray for Thy blessing upon those who have listened and upon the program today. We thank Thee for Thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.